Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings Wrestling Podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
How are my little girly girls? My little sweetie girls.
I like when we just don't answer.
Yeah, we're just like, take that one, toss it to Leah.
Do you guys know, I didn't even tell the Slack this, but the guy from like National Grid came to like see if my house was weatherproofed. I don't really understand what he was there for. But
National Grid.
Oh my.
Like, is this a scam?
Company. Oh, okay. I was like, is this some sort of government agency?
Was it Mulder? Was it the X-Files?
Came to my house, said it was important, and then he looked around.
Okay. Well, I mean, National.
It was like the rest of the story is also just going to continue to sound like a scam because
I'm so scared.
One of my friends saw Orange Cassidy at a convention and got him to sign something for me, and I have it propped up on my counter. So he's walking around and talking to me about Windows, and then he stopped and he was like, "Is that Orange Cassidy?" And I was like, "Yeah." Oh. And he's like, "You watch AEW?" And then he sat down for 45 minutes and talked to me about it. And then he was
when did this happen? I can't believe you didn't tell us about this.
Monday.
What is wrong with you?
I forgot.
Lack of disclosure.
Like, I have been waiting. He's been waiting his whole life to see an Orange Cassidy card in someone's home.
But yeah, I mean, like, he was just like, he had just had the most interesting opinions because some of the stuff was really dialed in. Like, he knew who Dave Meltzer was. But then he was like, so what happened with Punk? Like, what happened? And I was like, we don't
girl.
Have time for this.
Like, I'd love to get into it, though. I'd love an energy guy to come ask me what the deal was with Punk. So
he said that he watches WWE more religiously, but that AEW is more interesting, which I thought was really interesting.
Interesting.
We got to get this guy in touch with Tony and just say, like, can you investigate this as a demo? Like, can you just see what you think is going on here? They must have researchers who could do it.
I did kind of feel like I was like, and I'm speaking with the casual fan. Yeah.
What age range would you say he was in?
He's got to be around my age, so maybe 35, 45.
Okay.
In there.
As a male, that's the demo, baby.
That's the demo.
That's who it's aimed at.
Yeah.
He told me the story that Roman Reigns was really, really nice to his daughter in an airport, but Punk was – the one time he saw Punk, somebody asked him for a autograph, and Punk said, "Get out of here."
That's actually kind of funny.
It was kind of funny. I mean, because like it's like autograph people.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
I don't know. I deeply enjoyed my conversation with Alan from National.
Yeah.
Crime.
Wow.
Shout out to Alan. Did you tell him about Tunnel Talk or
no? I chose not to tell him about my podcast.
Okay. Well, Alan, I hope you find us on your own. It's a big wide world out there, but not impossible.
That'd be incredible.
All right. You want to talk wrestling? You want to talk the biz?
The biz.
We love the sport.
Not
casual fans around here.
We are intense fans, and we're going to begin with something we are intense fans of. We are intensely fans of. The way that we feel about this.
We're intense fans of it.
I would say is intense.
Yeah.
Let's get it
Once
going.
Once again, we got pandered to, and it feels good.
Yeah. To the point
it
where
feels
my friend
better and better.
Jeff, about a half hour ago, messaged me and said, "So how much of the podcast are you guys going to devote to talking about Swerve and Hangman kissing?" And I was like, obviously a lot. Yeah.
Swerve and Mox, but I love that Freudian slip there.
Oh, yeah, that is. Yeah, right. Yeah. But, well.
And let me just say, I back you 100% there. I feel you. I'm locked in. Same. Wow. Swerve and Mox main event to Dynamite this week. This was their gold group matchup. They were both undefeated going into the match. I hope that's right. I think it is. But Mox emerged victorious, leaving Swerve looking angry, baffled, and exhausted in the ring afterwards. This match had everything. Well, let's start with what Jeff is talking about. Little kissy.
Yeah. Mox sure did. Well, Swerve did it first, right?
No, Mox did it first, and then Swerve did it back.
Yeah. They for real kissed each other. aggressive kissing, and then they kind of push each other up against the ropes and wrap their legs around each other. So
I'm sorry, but that part right before second kissy, I was like, this is about to get X-rated. Get the children out of here. They can't be watching.
I really was holding my breath in the sense that I was like, I'm not sure what's going to happen next, which is usually something that I usually don't feel except like at pay-per-views or death matches where you're like, this could do anything. And like, this wasn't either of that. So like, realistically, like, what did I think was going to happen? But I honestly was like, I think that they might start doing it.
I think there were moments where it was like, are they doing it? Like, is it happening? Is it actually actively happening?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like we almost don't know. I'm like looking at us right now. I'm like, we almost don't know what to say because it's so startling to get exactly what you want. And it's for you. And it's like these men are hearing you and thinking like, yeah, sure. Yeah, like, we could do that. Like,
the girlies want to see a little kiss. Yeah, it's not a problem for me.
A little
love
kissy.
To kiss
why not?
Him on his little face. Yeah.
It's like the end of the, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, where Willy Wonka's like, and Charlie, do you know what happened to the boy who got everything he ever wanted? He lived happily ever after. And that's us watching Dynamite last night.
With our big old wide saucer eyes. Mox gave Swerve a naughty little kissy, and Swerve said, I can do that too. And he kissed Mox, and...
It was a real kiss, too. I mean, Mox also did the bite and the back scratchy, too, which, of course, is a
classic
favorite move.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Listen, if we set the kissies aside, and we loved the kissies, and keep it up, guys. Everyone keep it up. More kissies. But even if you set that aside, absolute banger of a match. Just fucking great. Very raw. Very brutal, exciting. Didn't know how it was going to go. This was like a Mox match where it was like, okay, I don't know if we're going to draw. I don't know what's going to happen.
This bracket feels like it's just been about these two guys, and it was so exciting to see them finally like match up. And then the match was so good and so like visceral. It was a great time for it.
It was so good. And did you guys watch the Mox promo that we got, the backstage Mox post-match promo?
I did, and I loved it. I
loved it.
How much Mox is working, like, the current discourse about, like, where the company's headed. But he's, like, he's working it in a pretty natural way where he's, like, these guys are so important to the company, and I'm very concerned about them. But in this way where he's, like, and I'm making them into my army where I, at the top, lead them.
Yeah, I thought it was a really interesting promo from Mox because it's like it worked really well. And Mox's character is like not super gimmicked. So it's like he often is in that space of like, this is real. But also you're doing a wrestling promo and it's not real. But it just worked really well for me. And of course, I felt so strongly like you're exactly right. Like, thank God you've got to say it. You've got to say that like these are the guys that we should be aligning behind and that you guys are doing the matches that matter, which is like, you know, it's like, it's right too. If you look back at the past couple months, like everyone he named, like Mox, OC, Hangman and Swerve. Yeah. No complaints.
Yeah.
I mean, Danhausen complaint, but that's not about you.
Sarah did make a point to me earlier though, where that is so funny that Mox was like, Orange Cassidy is the future of this company. It's like Orange Cassidy is older than you.
Yeah. I have been thinking about that when people are like, yeah, so sometime OC as a young guy will get to Mox's level. And it's like, isn't he like 3 years older?
Yeah. Yeah. The time's kind of now for the old man, for our beloved old man.
I love that blind spot around Orange Cassidy because people like sometimes talk about like, you know, Kenny Omega's sunset years.
I know. They're like the same age. I know. Make way for the young guys like Orange Cassidy.
Oh my God. I'm like,
he's got great hair, you know, and a youthful energy.
Because he's got great hair. And I guess it's like more than Kenny. I don't want to say that because someone's going to come in and be like, don't talk about, you don't know anything. So I won't say it. I will say
it. It's because he was working a day job until AEW, basically.
Yeah, he was working a day job. And it's like, he has a very, I think, a different match that where it's like, he has a lot of matches where it's like, he's not destroying his body doing that. Yeah, and Kenny's number one match style is kind of like actively destroying my body. And we love to see it.
Kenny walks into a ring and says, if I die here, I die here.
If I die here, I die happy. Let him die. Let him die. No, don't die, Kenny. And be safe. What did you guys think about the outcome with Mox winning?
It's one of those things where it's like, Swerve has to lose because I don't want him to be saddled with these belts. I want him to be free to mess around in whatever is going on in the title picture.
Free to play the field.
He's got to play the field. He literally can't win the classic. And yet, like, every part of my soul was like, I need Swerve to win everything.
I know. You said, I hate Mox when the match was over. It was shocking. It wasn't.
A little troubling.
I saw it coming, but I said, But then what did Mox do? He kissed the camera. And then Leah said, well, I did love that. I love when he kissed the camera. I said, yeah, that's because you love Mox. It, deep in your heart, even when you are a little annoyed, you love him. That's her son.
We have a complicated relationship.
So many relationships in the wrestling realm. Very complicated. What about you, Anne?
Yeah, I was just psyched for it because it felt like such a hardcore match. And I felt like they, you know, did a good job with Swerve's, like, alleged injury and then, like, a little mild bit of Mox cheating. I thought Swerve still looked very tough and strong and good, which I like. And I think Mox coming off as, like, such a beast in this tournament also, like, makes Swerve look tough and strong. So
I'm
like, yeah, you don't need the pony belt. Every time they say Triple Crown, I like can't deal with it at all because I am from Louisville, Kentucky, and it's like, yeah, that's a horse belt. It's a belt for horses. It's for the fastest horse. It's a very good fast horse.
Tony, why are you trying to call one of your wrestlers a very good fast horse? They don't even run that much. There's not room to run in the ring.
No, you rarely see them run. It's
you
just like
rarely see
Danielson
it.
Chases MJF out of there or whatever. So
I liked it. I agree that I think Swerve came out looking strong. Swerve is still... Now, I think I got some math stuff wrong last week about the tournament, and I just want to say, just be nice to me, okay? I'm not not stupid, but I'm not thinking about it that deeply. So if I get stuff wrong, be kind. But I believe that Swerve can still make it to the semis.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. So we might see them in a rematch. I think that the other Jay White has 9 points. So Jay White maybe also still in the running for the semis. But what was I going to say?
And this week they kept making a big deal also that if you're like tied for points, whoever won your head-to-head match is the one with the advantage. So not that that comes into play, I think, with Mox and Swerve, because I think Mox is just going to have more points. But
yeah,
it's interesting that commentary said that like 100 times.
They did, so. Yeah. And I think you know what? I think you are pointing out something that's worth saying, which is the commentary is doing a really good job of emphasizing stuff so that even if later I'm wrong, which I usually am, when I'm watching the show, I feel pretty confident about what to keep an eye on. I think they're doing really good work.
Yeah, I feel like this week especially, I really noticed it because I was like, they're really like making sure you know the stakes for everyone going in, like where their points are, who has to win this match and who needs to lose, you know, whatever. So, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's really nice.
They've been doing a good job, like I think, kind of talking you through like what Jay Lethal and Mark Briscoe are kind of doing there.
Yeah.
Now that they've been mathematically eliminated. They're just doing a really great job. Oh, also, while we're talking about commentary, Tony Schiavone's tone of voice when Mox and Swerve were kissing was so funny, where he was like, and he kissed him. Yeah.
Is that when Taz was like, yeah, a little smooch?
Whatever. Yeah. Like, I don't know why it shot almost as much as the kiss astonished me. It astonished me that commentary was like, well, we must speak of it. I mean, what can you do? Can't ignore it.
He kissed him. We're going to talk about it for a couple of minutes here. Yeah.
I also just wanted to say that I thought that... So after Swerve lost and Mox skedaddled out of the ring and was like hamming for the crowd, the face acting that Swerve was doing, I was so impressed by, especially because, and I think that right when Swerve came from WWE, he might have done some of the WWE like Looney Tune eyes that so many do. But I don't want to malign him. He may not have, but this was like one of the first times where I was like, I feel so strongly like the acting that you're doing on your face right now is perfect. It's nuanced. Yeah. It's like, it's building interest in your character. Like, you're just killing it right now.
Yeah. It was really good. I do like thinking about them at the performance center, like, training them to do that NXT face.
It's really,
I think your eyes bug out more, and like, you know, some Ace Steel type is like demonstrating for them.
Well, it's funny because I'm like, well, no, I mean, I guess part of it is like they're being like, okay, you're playing to the back seats, so you got to make the face big, and it's like, well, you're not, because the camera's right there, so just play to the just play to the camera.
You are on television now. Yes.
Which Swerve did. I was so impressed. And he also had a great post-match promo where, like, I just thought that I loved the energy where it was kind of, like, calm, but, like, a little, you know, like, with a little edge and just being like, this doesn't change anything for me. And leaning into, like, no, to lose to Mox is to be made because, like, Mox means so much and, like, the belt means so much and Mox had the belt, you know, so.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
As an aside, do you guys think it was a little hazardous of them to put Mark Briscoe in the bracket with all of the J's? Because did you see that the AEW social media today tweeted and called him Jay Briscoe?
I did see that. I did see that. Yes, and
great.
Yeah, I do think they kind of they brought that on themselves a little bit. Yeah, mm-hmm. But also, you know, just check it.
You know,
just check before you tweet.
Because it started to happen to me, and every time I have checked to see which Briscoe we do have here. So, yeah.
Which Briscoe we're working with here. Okay. Any other thoughts about the Swerve Mox situation before we move on to the rest of the Gold Group?
I do like your question here in the schedule of whether a Mox Swerve Hangman death match would result in literal death. I think maybe a small death, maybe a
little death. You think the petite more? Maybe so. Maybe the littlest so. Death. Of Well, 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 Anne, well played. And may I say, if the men would like to pander to us in that way, go right ahead.
Free, yeah.
But we are at our leisure. All right, let's move on to the rest of the Gold Group. Where I've said here, as Manolo would say, let's jam through it. Manolo loves to say this. He says, let's jam through the rest of Dynamite. I'm rarely jamming when I'm with him, but... Okay, also on Dynamite this week, we had Roosh versus Jay Lethal, which Roosh won, and Jay White versus Mark Briscoe, which Jay White won. This, Leah, I think you are the one who called this the soggy center of the episode.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of fun. I thought it was a really good episode of Dynamite. I had a lot of fun, but I will say these matches did not entice and delight.
No. I think this was the section of, like, you're like, oh, yeah, in a round-robin tournament, like, you need some guys who can lose, and sometimes they're going to fight each other, and it won't be, like, the most exciting matches. So...
Yeah. But maybe it delighted the... I think these are all men that that other men like to watch do... like technical do wrestling.
Yeah, I think that's right.
It didn't help that, like, so Andrade and Brody were in there too, and that one was like a 15
yes
match,
right?
And then it led to my husband Roosh, and I couldn't like, I was like, I can't bounce back to this, and then just switched to Jay White and Mark Briscoe. I was like, fellas, what are we doing here?
It's not, no.
It was a long, soft center of just men that we didn't need to see what they were up to that much, but we see it.
And we all got a lot of household testing, you know?
So I think we all did. I watered all my plants.
Yeah, I finished knitting a hat, so, you know.
My friend Bree, who is at the show, did send me a picture of Roosh standing very animalistically and proud in the middle of the ring. His boobs were glistening. Thank you.
That was a good night for tits. We'll come circle back on that later. Let's see. What do we have anything to say about this?
No, I mean, these are all like a little lackluster, not that exciting for me, but I am liking just the C2 has been nice just for having like the structure where these stories yeah. are kind of like naturally playing out. It's interesting to watch because it's not like I've been clamoring for sports presentation, but it did feel like things just keep moving. And then you're like, oh my gosh, like so-and-so has 6 points, but if they get 9 in this one, then like, yeah. how is Eddie going to make it to the finals, you know, or whatever.
Right. I mean, it's an unbelievably missing part of the past year that yeah. when a man walks to the ring, I know why he's there and I know right. what he wants. You know,
I know what the stakes are, kind
yeah,
of. Yeah.
Yeah. I know what all of these men are there for.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to say, like, not to be like Gondor, the girlies have fallen, but I love sports presentation and I actually need it. No, not that we've ever been opposed to it, but I really am feeling like, yes, I love this structure. I love the illusion of chance. I love, like, yes. there's a reason they've all come here and you're lying to me about how either one of these men could take it home and they couldn't. Only one of them can because he is slated to win, but I just love it. And Anne, you had mentioned, like, you were like, well, I never felt that strongly about the ratings because, you know, they did cook the ratings. And I actually am like, yeah, and now I'm like, yeah, that's great. It's great to cook the ratings. Like,
I know.
I now hunger more than ever outside of the C2 for Taz to be saying things to me like, Orange Cassidy's been on a hot streak on Dark and like racking up wins. And to know that's happening in service of something that's going to be going on Dynamite, but I don't care. I don't care. He's racking up wins yeah. because it's important to get yeah. wins so that you yeah. move through the rankings to get yeah. the points, to get the shot.
Have gotten like so into this whole like who has the points yes. and how can they what's the path to like success and like the little logic puzzle of it, which is quite shocking to me in general. But yeah, I feel like I wasn't into that into the ratings like back in the day, but now if they brought ratings back, I'd be like, oh my god, like he's at number 3, he's got to win some more matches to get up to number yes. 1 so he can challenge.
Right, well, don't you think that, like right now, we would start seeing Swerve on Dark because they're like, oh, he's racking up wins because he's got to yes. get to the number one contender. And so then yeah. you'd be watching him do it, and you'd be like, they are investing in Swerve because we're seeing him do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we're going to talk about the women later, but, like, the Bleacher guy was saying, like, it's really stark in the women's division because it's like, oh, Riho is the number one contender for the women's title now because she did a run-in. And that is the yeah. only indication. Yeah. That is the only reason she's getting a title shot is because she did a run-in. Whereas, like, the rankings were, like, a thing where it's like, oh, like, that gave you a reason yeah. to be like, this is why they're getting a title shot. It doesn't just have to be that they did a run-in.
Yeah, and it just gives you some stories really naturally without having to do very much where you just, like, have some, like, some elements of your world that you're working with, you know, or you're running up against
right.
limitations. And
but then cool. within this structure, like, I think the promos that we've gotten out of this are so good. Like, I just yeah. love all They've of the C2 so promos. Some are insane. We'll get to some of those. Like, some are, like, but, like, they are finding stories inside the structure, which yeah. is great. It's balancing. Like, it's like, I wouldn't want to see them doing hockey player interviews where they're just right. like, well, no. just got to get out there and do it because when you get out there, it's so important to get out there and do it. Like, that wouldn't be good. That's actually what yeah. kind of more of a typical sports presentation in the world of sports, and that would be bad. Mm-hmm. But they are doing the sports presentation, and then they get back there and they give yeah. these crazed promos about their interiority.
Yes.
Right. And mwah. I mean, even Jay Lethal and Mark Briscoe are doing a decent job, you
yeah,
know, like
yeah.
Jay Lethal telling a story about all of a sudden he like losing so badly in this classic is waking him up to realize that he's aligned himself with clowns and buffoons.
You know oh, what I mean? Like, I don't think I watched that one. That's pretty good. Yeah.
Wow.
I do feel like they've given everyone, it's like, here's your match results for like your 6 results. So you're going to like really tank it in this tournament. And then they're just like, all right, so here's 3 minutes. Just talk about how you feel about that. And like, they're actually like really responding well to it. I feel like where you've got
I feel
all
like
these.
We should. Sometimes I'm like, we should have been New Japan girlies. Cause isn't this
yeah.
what they do with New
yes,
Japan?
Yes, I
where
believe
they have
so.
That
yes.
Room
yeah.
Behind have the that room. They have that the room. Like, you know,
they
know,
take him
like
to the room.
It has the wallpaper with the designs that we've all seen a million times. Come on.
Yeah, they take them to the room of psychological interiority. And their feelings are wrenched out of them. Supernatural forces beyond our comprehension. No, I do know. I know the room you're speaking of. I think it's right. I think we are seeing, I think this is like a New Japan style presentation. I also want to say they're filming the men all over the backstage, and I'm obsessed with it. They're just finding these, like, it's like, I love the vibe sometimes that a man has just tried to get 5 seconds alone with his feelings, and someone is screedling up to him behind, like, a pile of chairs to be like, Swerve, I know you may not want to talk, but can I just get a minute of your time?
The interviewer has been doing that really consistently, and it does really work for this. Like, sorry to bother you, Mr. Swerve, but what are you feeling right now?
Have you guys recognized his voice? I can't figure out who it is.
No.
I have
I haven't seen anyone even talking about it. Who is that man? Why is it not Alex Marvez?
I know it has Alex Marvez energy of like, I'm so sorry, but I have to get this interview. But it's definitely not though.
Wow, maybe it's a little protege of Mr. Marvez. Mm. Maybe he's training up another little guy to pathetically say, please give me an interview. I need scoops for my family.
Alex Marvez, father lover?
Father lover. Oh, it all comes back to that in the world of AEW. Okay, well, while we're in Continental Classic praise mode, let's move on and we'll talk about what happened in the blue group this week. So, our little colliders. So, Eddie beat Claudio on Collision. Danielson beat Garcia on Rampage. Andrade beat Danielson on Collision. I know we watched this, but I read the result and just like couldn't. I had just blocked it out. I was like, that cannot have happened. but it did. And Andrade also beat Brody King on Dynamite. So I thought we would just go man by man, talk about a couple of these guys. And I'm actually going to kick it to Leah, who is going to, she's the only one of us, I believe, who watched Rampage. So she is going to lead us in a little discussion about Danny Garcia. Take it away, Leah.
So he came out for this match in his little Speedo, not the leather pants. He had his little Speedo, and he had his towel around his neck. Remember
did
how
say
he used to
Red
do?
Red Death on the butt?
Yeah.
Oh, Red Death.
I think it did. Well, now I'm not sure about that. But it was definitely old school trunks. Like, they weren't new trunks. And then he had that little, remember we used to make fun of him because he'd look like a baby Scar? Like, he'd be like, he's the prequel to Lion King. Yeah, he had that face on.
Yeah.
And he had the towel around his neck, and he marched down, and he wasn't fooling around. And so, like, it made me a little bit crazy because it was like the story of the match was that he was, like, going back to his roots to be the guy that he was when Bryan Danielson almost adopted him. And then he did one little dance, but it was, like, just for 3 seconds. But then he was, like, back to, like, pretty business. And then he lost, and Bryan Danielson spit on him.
So Leah told us, make sure you watch Bryan Danielson's post-match promo. And we have been trying to catch all of them, but it's a little bit of a Pokemon situation because they're popping up all times of the day and night, and you just got to try and make sure you get them. Anyway, so she told us to make sure we watched it. When I heard him say, why did I spit hunt on him or whatever, I just... said you did what?
Ryan. I know. He had just come out of meditating, too, and got really angry, which was
Explaining. Like, he was like, I do stuff in matches, and who knows why I do it, but then I come back and I meditate to discover what my body already knew.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, Bryan Danielson's been, like, reading books on trauma. It's like, the body knows, keeps the score.
Oh, my God.
But that promo is absolutely bonkers.
Insane.
Because it seemed like Bryan Danielson also was, like, in this place where he had put himself in the shoes of the guy who tried to adopt Daniel Garcia. But then he, like, was like, and Daniel Garcia didn't want me. And will my daughter want me? Is Daniel Garcia my daughter? What is happening here?
Then he was like, my daughter might not want me around, but she needs me around. And Daniel Garcia might not have wanted me around, but he did need me around because now he's a huge loser.
and that's why I spat on him.
But like, it all would have added up to me. It all would have hit like a fucking freight train if they had just kept him doing the sports entertainer thing and then have it be like, oh, I can't beat Brian. I can't win doing this. And it's not what makes me happy.
Yeah. I agree. Because I do, I think it would be so, I guess this is what they already did. Like, that's why some stuff is weird about this whole storyline, because it's like, we already did some of it, but then now we're redoing it. And like, I'm not mad at anybody involved because, you know, I love them. But you want that, like, you want Bryan Danielson to be like waving the red rag in front of the bull and being like, yeah, come out and like, mm-hmm, be crazy with me. And that's the only way you can engage with me. And it doesn't sound like that's what we got. I want to say something about the Bryan Danielson's promo style, mm-hmm, which is, I'd love Bryan Danielson. I truly do with my whole heart. His promo style is so weird to me, where it's like, sometimes I'm like, I think you are doing like kind of good work. Like, you understand that there should be kind of a psychological narrative here, and like, you are connecting things to other things that you're finding in the meditation chamber of your mind. But just somehow the way that he presents it is like, it's like I've been watching a lot of, unfortunately, like sci-fi channel TV shows, and he comes at it kind of like that, where I'm just like, yeah, yes, I understand what you're saying. I get it. It's kind of like the blunt end of the hammer. You know what I mean? It was just very funny where I'm like, and so he's presenting the, like, it's like, it works, but it's insane, and it's good because it's insane. But I wouldn't say it's the most masterful way that we could be presenting this information.
He's so weird because he's like a very, like, comes across as a very like rational guy and like not very cerebral, but he's also banana pants, I think, like in his real life. And like, I think his whole personality, yeah, is insane. So it comes out in strange ways.
It does. Some of his promos have this vibe of like, he could give a normal promo, but he's challenging himself in a way that he's not disclosing to the audience. Like, somebody said, yeah, like, you have to use this certain word, and he's like, got it. Or he's like somebody sent him a challenge that he's not telling us, and he's like, they're like, oh, you have to promo on Daniel Garcia, but you have to reflect on fatherhood at the same time. And he's like, not a problem. And so like, you're like, Bryan Danielson, this was a weird promo. And he's like, it was a great promo if you need the rules of the promo that I haven't shared.
I just had a real moment when I was listening to it where I was like, I must have the script, and I need to rejigger this whole thing. And it'll be all the same themes, and it'll be the same kind of narrative, but it's just going to be presented completely differently. And yeah, I promise you, it's going to knock it out of the ballpark. Like, I understand yeah, the hubris of saying that, but like, that is how I felt so intensely in the middle, where I was like, just let me edit it. Just let me just move some stuff around a little.
No, I agree. Like, I don't like what's going on with MJF lately, but I can't actually say that I would do a better job because of the various things that like have been going on with the injury. You know, like, it's just not clear to me like what's going on there. But with the Bryan Danielson, Daniel Garcia thing, I really honestly think that like, if they would just let us in there, we could fix it.
And as
it would
a team,
come out, like, on the other side, it would be like, we'd be like, this is art. This is what art is.
I agree.
It's too bad they haven't defined for themselves more clearly, like, what he does that's sports entertaining versus professional wrestling, and then kind of make it an actual dichotomy, because they just don't do it.
And
very
they really,
at all.
Daddy Magic was doing an absolute perfect job on commentary. I love him forever. I could listen to him talk, but they also have not done a good job of defining how he feels about Bryan Danielson. I don't know why I keep mixing up their names.
You just watched a lot of Daniel Bryan.
The
WWE,
Daniels. So, I'm just Danieling. You know. Big time Danieling. he was so mad that Daniel Garcia danced, but he had nothing to say about Daniel Garcia going back to his old, like, costumes or whatever. But, like, he's still using, like, the name and the outfits that Jericho gave him. So like, what does Daddy Magic want Danny Garcia to do right now? Like, what does he want?
Right. He should be like pushing him towards the sports entertaining and the Jericho style. If they're going to set him up against Bryan Danielson, but
right. Daddy Magic should be playing the Jericho role.
Yeah.
If they're reawakening, if they're trying to redo that story and actually finish it, then Daddy Magic should be playing Jericho in that.
I don't think that the dissolution of Jazz has gone that well, but I don't say it. There's no malice in my heart for any of the members of Jazz. like, or for what they're doing. I'd love them all. And actually, they usually are entertaining me even when I'm like, this doesn't add up. This is nonsense. But I don't think that they really seem to know, like, no. What was sports entertainment? What's our relationship to sports entertainment now? What's our relationship to each other now? Like, I think they're doing something where it's like, there is this, they're kind of like slowly drifting apart in like one by one, because there's a thing of like, without Jericho, we're not a family. But it, yeah. I don't know that it's not adding up.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Not super coherent.
Yeah.
But you know what? Whatever. And let me just circle back and say, are you not happy that we now have, every time Bryan Danielson fights, the mental image of him going backstage, just dropping down into lotus pose in the just in the middle of the backstage? He didn't go to his dressing room
area. Yeah.
And just meditating. And that everyone just, I presumably just has to kind of navigate around that. Just Bryan.
I just need to know why my body did that. And, you know. Yeah.
So I'm glad that we got that. I don't think we actually have that much that we need to say about Andrade, except that I think all of us wish he weren't in the tournament.
No, and it's making me crazy that now he's like winning this bracket, because it's like, if Eddie's going to come back, I don't want him in a semifinal against Andrade. Like, I'd love for him to like get the win back against Bryan Danielson, who was so mean to him and dropped that sign on him and stuff. But it's like, Andrade, like, who cares?
And also, not to be incredibly petty, but everybody told me that the Elite wasn't allowed to be on TV or have great stories when they were working on signing their contract, because obviously it made business sense that Tony would feature them when they were, you know, in danger of leaving. Fucking Andrade tweets every 24 hours, I don't want to work here. and yet he's being featured so much. Why am I looking at this man?
I truly don't get it. Like, to me, from the outside, I'm like, is this another dickmatized situation? Like, what has he done to you, Tony? Like, why are you so enamored that you put him in the C2 where I believe in my heart that you have had to sit down for hours with this man, because they know he's not winning the C2. So you have had to sit down and really work through, like, you're going to lose some. You're going to lose some. Let's just talk about which ones you're going to lose, and then we'll let you win a lot of other ones. But you're going to lose some. It's not worth the effort. Don't you have so many other men? Couldn't we have other men?
Yeah, surely a more entertaining and less unpleasant one.
Right. And related, I don't need Miro to be saying incredibly misogynistic shit to you, CJ. I'll tell you that.
No. What do they think they're doing over there? It's wild.
I truly do not know. What did we see that? We saw that promo on Collision that was about whether or not she should get back in the kitchen, basically.
Yeah.
And clean the fish that he brings home. Sure.
I think I just had that. I don't know if it was Total Divas or whatever, that, you know, when they're in John Cena's home and there's the fish tank and Bryan Danielson is being like, there's not enough room in there. And John Cena's being like, it's the perfect amount of room. It's a million gallon tank.
And Bryan Danielson's like, these fish should be in the ocean.
I don't know why. That's when I was like, yeah, he's making her clean the fish tank when he brings the new tropical fish home. I don't need it, and I don't really understand why it's happening, and maybe just stop. Who knows? And then Eddie also did fight his way back into the game, because he won over Claudio, and he's gonna fight Daniel Garcia on Collision this week, which I'm quite excited about as a little rematch. We haven't seen them nuzzle in a while.
Disappear into an elevator for unspecified amount of times.
I wonder what new sensualities they have cooked up for us now that kissing's on the table. Anything's possible. You guys have any big dreams for the blue group that you have not gotten to express yet?
No, just that Andrade is not in the final and Eddie is somehow. I don't think that's mathematically possible. But
I don't know what's mathematically possible in that group anymore. And actually, I'm afraid to venture a guess at this point. What does it look like? Andrade has 9. Thank you, Leah, for giving me these matches with their scores in them. Andrade has 9. Yeah. think no one. He has the most Danielson in the group.
Has six. Yeah.
I think Claudio. That's has, so sick.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's really disgusting. And Brody that's and nasty. Ryan Davidson both have six. Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, moving on. We got a little update on the Golden Jets storyline this week. So Kenny and Jericho came out to. I think it was. It wasn't just a "Here's what you missed on Glee" promo. Like they just came out to be like, and it is us. It's the Golden Jets. I was a little disappointed in. So overall, Texas crowd was great. Emmy, we saw your signs. We loved your. We loved your signs, and we loved to see you there. And we're glad that you had a great show. I didn't love that the Texas crowd chanted for the Golden Jets and gave Jericho the opportunity to say, "Wow, our first Golden Jets chant and your last." This farce must end.
This was so funny when they started coming out. They like Kenny came out. I was like, "Oh my god, Kenny!" Like I haven't seen him forever. And then Jericho came out. I was like, "Jericho, huh? That's weird." And I was like, "Oh my god, they're a tag team." And then when Ricky and Bill came out, I was just as surprised. I was like, "What are they?" Oh right, yeah. That's like how much sense that the storyline makes.
Yeah. You're like you're like I refuse to have objective permanence about mm-hmm. something so stupid.
Yeah.
Object permanence.
Absolutely rejected it. Yeah.
So they cut a little promo. Big Bill and Ricky came out. They all had a promo battle. This was so weird. I'm not mad about it. I thought Kenny looked, let me get this in early. Mm. Kenny was so cute. I don't know why. No, I felt like no one was responding as much as I wanted them to. When I kept
it was like his hair. He looked really cute with that half up situation.
It's so long. It's gotten so long.
And
it had like the curls were pretty curly. Like they looked.
They've been way worse, and they've rarely been better. So not for years and years. So and he just looks so sweet and kind of like more well rested than he sometimes does. And he was in his little shorts and his long sleeve shirt. Was it a long sleeve shirt? Yeah, maybe. Yeah. It might have been short sleeve.
He looked alive behind the eyes. This is so surprising from Kenny lately. I was like, oh look, he's all the way here. Like his soul and spirit are both here with his body.
He danced to Judas.
Yeah. It didn't feel like it was like checked out laundry day vibes. Like I just put this on because I've been in a depression hole. It's the only thing I could find. It felt like it was like he was like, this is my day off. I'm not taking it very seriously, but I'm happy to be here. And I was like, that's good enough for me. So he just looked so sweet and I was happy to see him and I was happy to see him dance. The promo battle itself did not make sense really that much.
No.
Not that much.
It was interesting to me, like, how much everyone on the internet hated it. Because, like, it was, I mean, it was bad, for sure. But I didn't feel like it was worse than, like, the storyline as a whole. You know what
no.
I mean?
No,
it was,
no,
like,
no.
Of a piece with the whole storyline.
Right.
I think it was, like, there were, it was in the soggy middle of Dynamite, which I think did not help it that much because we all kind of checked out to our chores. Like we were kind of doing our chores and listening like, what is happening there? But I wasn't mad. I was like, this is funly insane. Like this isn't good and it doesn't make sense. But everyone's like, it was kind of funny that like Big Bill and Ricky had a little bit of a vibe of like, and we really came here to promo battle. And Jericho and Kenny had a vibe of like, we didn't really talk before this and we're not really that worried about it. It's just kind of like, it's December. Like you pulled us into a meeting. It's the middle of December. Like you get what you get.
Yeah.
That was the vibe.
It was advertised. Like they like this promo like was advertised. It was planned. And yet the vibe was very much that like they were in catering shooting the shit. And Tony was like, guys, I've got 5 minutes. I need to kill it. Can you guys just go out there? And like on the walk from catering to the stage, Kenny and Jericho came up with those comebacks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's the best they came with on the fly, but what could you expect?
Did you hear like when Punk was being a nightmare and I can't remember if it was like Edge or Chris Jericho who's the one telling the story, but it was like basically like they had a tag match with like Punk in it and they, the Canadians, there was like a hockey game on and they didn't want to call the match because they were like, we're watching hockey,
yeah.
We're professionals, we're just going to go out there and do it. So they like didn't do it and then they just like the hockey game like wrapped up like right before their match, and they were like, score, and then they just ran out there to like call it on the fly. But then Punk got in the ring and he was so mad that they hadn't called it that he wouldn't tag Jericho in, and he was his tag partner.
Yeah. Yeah.
The vibe of this promo was very much that a hockey game had been on.
Yeah. A hockey game had been on.
Absolutely.
And they were all
yes.
watching it and catering. And yeah. they had that moment. Absolutely, where they were yes. like, well, we'll see what happens.
They're like, we're
Kenny and
we
Jericho
were
worried about it. There wasn't like if it happened
they were
to
cheering
me,
for
I'd
the Winnipeg
like,
Jets.
Right. If it happened to me, I would be like, fuck, why did I waste all that time watching a hockey game? I should have been prepped. Not one of those men was worried about it. All
no.
four of those
no.
men were like, hey, whatever happens, whatever comes out of my mouth in the next 10 seconds, that's what's happening.
And I feel like they heard afterwards probably that like everyone hated it and thought it sucked, and they were just like, yeah, I mean,
like, it'd be that way sometimes.
It's fine, yeah, I don't care.
The moment where they collaboratively came up with Big Billy Starks, which I didn't even realize in the moment was a reference to Billy Starks, maybe. I can't
I
tell,
didn't
but later
either,
everyone
and
was like,
I
guess
Billy
no one
Starks.
Knows who Billy Starks is. I know, but it's like didn't register at all because it was just so much like, oh, that's not a nickname, that's just their names pretty much. And then they got no response and Kenny just goes like, well, and fell flat, like where it's and he's like
because
just like Shaka could not give a shit.
Ricky said that one didn't go anywhere and both Kenny and Jericho was like, I agree, did
you? Like, yeah, I mean, that's fair.
It's very funny. I know this wasn't really Ricky's energy, but to me it kind of was that he was just like, I'm sorry, is anybody gonna join me here in the promo battle, or is it just me holding this whole promo battle up? And Jericho and Kenny were like, just basically just you, babe. Just
because Ricky was coming into it like hard and mad and like trying, and it was yeah not the vibe anyone else
he
thought.
Had prepared material, which is more than yeah. you can say for some.
I think Big Bill was watching that hockey game because
yeah, I think he was. Like, yeah,
yeah, you get it. Stand back here.
He's like, my job is being big, so I got it covered.
Someone pointed this out, but it was also very funny that all four of those men were not only dressed for different events, but they were dressed for different seasons.
Oh, the shorts wearing that Kenny does in December, I tell you. What are you going to do with them?
The more we talk about it, the more I'm like, and I'm so sorry. Like, MJF, you've done many things that I like, you know, in the past, not recently. I've been really annoyed with you, but I'd rather watch something that insane and bad most weeks yeah. than I would watch some of those really long, fairly formulaic MJF promos. Not the ones where he's like really cooking and doing a good job, yeah. but the ones where he comes out and he's just talking for 25 minutes and you're like, well, none of that is anything. We don't need to hear it. I'd rather watch Kenny and Jericho do that and just be like, I think you guys are having fun and I think you're ready for a vacay. Chris Jericho just got back from vacay, I believe, but
yeah, and he's not all the way back yet. Yeah, no, those it was like realizing
so MJ, island time.
He's still on island time for sure. Yeah.
When we all inevitably go on the Jericho cruise,
we gotta.
Like him to do like a straight up improv game and just be having people just really play in the space.
I would pay. Do you think that Fozzie ever does Jimmy Buffett covers?
Oh.
So I would love to see that.
They must,
I'm not sure
right?
if it's his vibe, but you know, like Jericho constantly has the vibe of like, well, what's the number? What are you paying me to do that?
Right. Yeah.
I'll just dig around in my sofa and see what spare change I can come up with to try and get him to hit us with a cheeseburger in paradise or something someday soon. Did I miss anything that we actually? Oh, they're gonna fight. They're gonna fight.
They
set a match for World's End that's gonna be one non-tag team versus another non-tag team for the tag belts. And if I had to guess, and you tell me if you think this is crazy, I do think Kenny and Jericho might get those belts.
I think they will.
Which is insane. And also,
absolutely insane.
When I was watching Rampage and listening to Don Callis talk on commentary, I just had a moment where I was like, oh my god, Hobbs and Takeshita are going to be the Golden Jets' first, like, feud? And None of
can we rustle up? Can we rustle up like a single tag team from like under the furniture? Where did they all go?
Apparently not. We lost all our tag team. You know what? Maybe it's kind of like it actually is like when you're doing your laundry and one day you look in your drawer and you're like, not a single pair of socks. Only single socks.
Yeah.
We lost all the tag teams in the laundry.
And now we're wearing like one Argyle and one polka dotted sock. Like I'm got one that's like a knee high, one that's like no show. It's like a fucking nightmare.
OC's out here tagging with Hook. It's like you've already got pairs that go with the sock. Where are
they? This is crazy. We need to go to the tag team store. But it's like the tag team store. It's like when it's like we have more socks in the basement, Tony. If we just went down to the basement, we could pick up some socks we already own. They're just down there stored away for exactly this occasion. And Tony said, let's keep rolling the dice and working with what we got in the current laundry cycle.
Since we're talking about it, I know this is not the section, but the promo where like OC was, hey, Von Erichs, do you want to tag with me? And then Greg was just like, what the hell?
Betrayal, like for the millionth time.
Oh my God.
They really, Tony Khan is just like, hey, Orange Cassidy, there's some new kids. Like, could you show them around?
It's the peril of being a pleasure to have in class.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. But it was crazy to me that, like, okay, you have a movie coming out. The movie has a connection to MJF already.
Yeah.
The producers of the movie should be interested in getting the wrestling audience. Like, mm-hmm. AEW is probably the prime audience for an A24 like movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, they sent the Von Erichs to tag with OC on Rampage, and it was like a pre-tape. They didn't even come out and do an on-ring and an in-ring. And now, to be created, I don't really know that much about the Von Erichs, so I don't like know if the Living Ones are like good at promos or wrestling or anything. I don't know any of that.
I think I heard they're not, but I mean, so, you're right. It's some lackluster promotion.
But to me,
of the movie.
If I'm trying to make a blockbuster movie and I know I have potential fans like trapped in an arena that I could sell my movie to.
Yeah, trapped in arena. They've locked those doors,
They locked those doors.
You know what they should do is they should get Jeremy Allen White and Zac Efron out there to tag against OC. Yes. And
then they could give OC little kisses. Let's go.
Oh, my God.
That's going to sell your movie.
My eyes are rolling back on my head. I'm falling down in a dead, horny faint on the ground. Please let me see it. I don't understand it at all. Because MJF's technically an executive producer on the film. So it does feel like, shouldn't he be involved? But it's kind of like, I can see a little bit where it's just like, well, MJF actually has some other stuff going on. And we can't really be putting any more on his plate right now.
Totally booked,
but they couldn't send one actor from the actual movie.
Please send Jeremy Allen White. We've been really good girls this year.
Wrestling as an art form.
But they could also send the other one who I knew nothing about. His name's like Harris Dixon or something. But he stars in my new favorite show that no one will engage with me about because I keep saying it's not good, A Murder at the End of the World. And he has a real sexy alien energy. And again, nobody is going to watch it. And I understand that. And I'm alone. And it's okay. And I've come to terms with it. But anyway, so they could send him too. And I would like that very much. Yeah. Any of the men. Any of them.
But instead, they didn't do that.
They didn't send them. They sent real Von Erichs.
Yeah.
That's not what we asked for.
We didn't. They said,
you have real Von Erichs at home. Well, we don't want those. We want the fake ones. Okay. And finally, because we've got the women too. Oh, so I'm sorry. Zonked. So this week's Dynamite opened with Samoa Joe coming out to cut a promo where he reiterated some of the stuff about how he promised to protect MJF until their match at Winter is Coming to make sure that he gets his good title shot. And that by attacking MJF, someone has potentially messed with that title shot. And he very quickly accused Hangman. Hangman came out for a little nose to nose promo. They got interrupted by Roddy, who came out yelling Samoa, which I hated. And Roddy, once again, he's kind of giving a little bit of like, I mean, he might turn out to be right, so I don't want to say it, but he's giving QAnon a little at this point. But he once again wanted to pitch his theory that MJF is the devil. And he was talking to Samoa Joe. Hangman tapped him on the shoulder, socked him. Fighting ensued. Samoa Joe leaves. We immediately get into the Hangman Roddy match, which Hangman ultimately won. I really liked the structure of this opening. What did you guys think?
I thought it was fantastic. They've done this a couple times where like they move into this match in a different way, and every time it gets me because the bell rings and I go, oh, it's a match.
Yeah.
Yeah, I super like that transition too. I would like it if like they're adding Hangman to the MJF stuff. I would love it if they would subsequently like remove a Wardlow to make space, you know, and I didn't like love him getting involved with like Samoa Joe also. I'm like, I don't know if I need it, but I did love the transition.
I think it's not what I need, but I'm like, I guess I kind of understand. I'm like, I feel like you're pivoting. I feel like stuff is changing in the MJF storyline. I like that stuff is changing in a way where Hangman is like at the top of the card, like a man that you turn to in this moment. I agree. I don't need to see him fight any of these people except for Roddy, because I have to say,
it was a great match.
Did anyone see what the men said about this? Like, did they like it or... I loved this match.
It was so fun, and I expected it to be so nothing to me.
Well, because, like, Roddy's been so pathetic that for some reason I thought he would wrestle pathetically, but actually,
he wrestled good. Fun. He wrestled really good. Hangman, at one point I think I said, I was like, is this match good, or am I just like, have I been wandering in the desert without seeing Hangman's like beautiful tits for so long that like he could be doing anything and I would say it was good? But I think it was really good.
It was good. Yeah. No, it was legitimately good. They both looked really good. They worked well together, which I'm intrigued by the mention of their history.
Yeah.
I really need to get into that. I'm looking
for what did Roddy say? He called Hangman.
He said, remember when you were my young boy?
Okay, hello, buddy. Maybe someone could give us a little promo about that. A little backstage promo.
I would give anything to have Roddy backstage explaining exactly what he meant by that.
When you said young boy, was this like in the ring or just personally?
I feel like Renee could get the answers we need. Get Renee
would be great, yeah.
I feel like Renee would ask
the questions that I need answered for sure.
I know. Honestly, she should be handling so many interviews because I know she understands our perspective.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Did you guys like Hangman glaring at the Swerve Hung the Hangman sign?
Oh, I
yes,
sure did.
Mm-hmm. Sure that was did. Extremely yes. erotic.
The men are haunting each other from beginning to end of the show.
And Hangman like bit Roddy at a certain point where I was like, whoa, okay, it's a good match, but I don't know if he deserves that sensuality.
I wouldn't.
Commentary was like, wow, that was pretty brutal. And, you know, I think Swerve's really changed Hangman. He's really affected how he's coming at stuff. And it was like, tell me more about that.
Wow. I love that. Although I will say that when Hangman is doing bitey, I say he got that from Mox, actually. But you know what? Sure. But he got the attitude from Swerve. Yeah. He is being created by all of these men, and they're all creating each other. And they're going to get their three-way death match.
Yeah. And he came in with such like a bully energy where he just wanted to beat Roddy.
Oh, so sexy.
So bad.
Really liked it. Yeah.
It's really satisfying because Roddy's so annoying that you're like, you're like, this isn't even heel behavior. This is just
Roddy. Yeah. It's like when Eddie turns heel on someone and it doesn't work because you're like, yeah, I never liked them.
I mean, if Eddie says he's got bad vibes, then he's got bad vibes.
I believe him for sure.
And then the real shocker. So it's so exciting that Hangman opened the show, but he actually also closed the show because after the Swerve Mox match, the show ended with a Hangman segment where the Devil's goons were attacking him backstage. The Devil himself was like standing there looking on, and then Hangman got powerbombed into the glass windshield of Carr. And it just makes you wonder who is the Devil. I did, like Trevor Dame pointed out, he was like, this mystery is not making the wrestlers look very smart because no one has even suggested Jack Perry. And like, I don't know if it's going to turn out to be, I don't know if they're going to swerve on us or something, but it would be very normal, I think, at this point to bring Jack Perry up as a wrestler backstage. I would maybe jump to that conclusion.
It's so insane he still has not been on TV. Like, if I was a huge Jack Ritter fan, I would be losing my mind by now. Yeah.
And I'm a normal Jack Perry fan, and yeah. I do feel a little insane about it, where I'm like, just bring him home. We need him back.
Fair.
I know. That's our little boy.
Yeah. Well, honestly, like, the way I felt this week, like, seeing Hangman and Kenny, I was like, it is going too long between seeing people I enjoy on this show. Like, I'm seeing too much MJF, not enough Jack Perry even, you know?
I never see Young Bucks again. I wish
you guys had watched Rampage so you could have experienced what it was like to watch Angelico.
Yeah, that when I saw that was happening, I was like, whoa.
I'm looking at Mr. Italy right now. I've looked at Mr. Italy.
Has he been getting paid this whole time?
Apparently he's been working ROH this whole time. Like, he's part of the Spanish Announce project, which is him and Chaos.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Because he's not actually from Italy.
Yeah. No, he's not. I think I just didn't know his name.
Well,
that's so sweet to look back nice. On.
Yeah.
I know. That's why, like, all our old I don't friends. Know. I was just having a moment where I was like, and JB needs to come back, and Heyman's on TV, and Angelico's here.
Get the Butcher and the Blade out here.
Restore the feeling with Angelico.
Guys, can you believe how much we complained about best friends fighting the Hardy family office?
Oh, no.
God. I would give anything.
Take us back.
Best friends on TV every single week with a
best
match
friends. For best friends every
months.
Week. Bucks oh on God. TV every week. Yeah. Little Kenny on TV every week.
I won't Hang even say about the Hardy family office.
Should we just make our podcast one of those, like, historical wrestling podcasts where they just watch matches from 2005, except it's 2020? Yeah.
We go back and watch from the beginning together.
I honestly think it would be so entertaining for us to go back and watch, like, the first parking lot brawl. And knowing what we know now, and like, I don't know, like, I just think that it would be so fascinating.
If we did have a Patreon, that's what we should do, is go back and start Dynamite in 2019 and just watch it straight through.
How many great ideas we'll come up with for our Patreon that none of us will ever have the energy ever to do.
I love our top two ideas now are that we watch Dynamite from the beginning and talk about it, which is so normal, and that we research and make clothes for our wrestling action figures. And just bring people into that crafting process when we're knitting little tiny doll sweaters for our little tiny action figure dolls.
Those are $200 ideas for sure. Yeah.
We're going to have so many patrons.
I think it's inevitable at this point. Really much. I do want to, you know what? Let's move on. Unless you guys had something you really wanted to say. Yeah. Okay. So we're just going to quickly check in on what's been going on with the women. Haven't gotten any big ongoing storylines. You'll be shocked to hear. Leah, you want to tell me about this Saraya promo with Ruby that I think I mixed up with the previous one?
She's so obsessed with it.
you linked it. I'm so sorry.
I'm enjoying what's going on. So Ruby sees Ange, and she's wearing his shirt, and she's like showing him her shirt. But the thing is, like, looked like she was showing him her boobs.
He's just like staring at her boobs, smiling, like, baby.
He was so happy. He was like, "That's my shirt. This is wonderful." Saraya shows up. Ruby comically closes her jacket as if she's a fucking flasher. And then Saraya starts hollering at her and is like, show me, then rips her jacket off and is like, I knew it.
Like, meanwhile, she like had a yelling match with Daddy Magic where she was like, don't talk to me, you're spitting all over me, get rid of him, take him out of here.
Oh, that's right, because then I remember that my thought was, I would love to see them in an ongoing alliance where they're like meeting up on the neutral ground of catering to be like, we gotta break them up, we can't do this, we don't like each other, but we gotta get them.
I need to see something where, like, they're on, like, a Tunnel of Love type, like, ride, and, like, Ruby and Kool-Aid Ange are sitting in, like, one swan boat, like, holding hands and cuddling, and then Matt Menard and Saraya are sitting directly behind them, squabbling the whole time and being like, hands where we can see them! But the thing I was going to say say is sometimes when Saraya talks to Ruby, the vibe is very much, do you remember being in high school and having an intense crush on a girl and really not knowing how to, like, express it? Like, not really understanding that it was a crush and just being like, I want you to like me best. And when you like other girls and other like people, it makes me sad for some undescribable reason. So I'm going to behave a little strangely about this. That is Saraya's thing where she's like, you don't like him, you like me.
Yeah, I know that feeling. I think it's very fun. I think it's very fun. I want to flag that one thing that's really nice about this ongoing storyline is it's not taking up a ton of time. No. It is taking up the exact right amount of time for the content, which I think has been one of the struggles of the past year, especially, is just stuff taking up more time than it should for what it is. And then everyone's concerns about, like, all storylines get kind of overblown, because I think there's that creeping worry of, like, what if you turn this into the thing that gets half an hour per show? This is just such a perfect little, it's a little chef's kiss on every episode of Collision or whatever, where you're just like,
fun. Just a beautiful little addition.
So true. Speaking of beautiful little additions, we had Toni Storm on commentary during the Ruby Riho match on Dynamite. What did you guys think about Toni bringing her gimmick to that venue?
It was really fun. I thought, like, she was pretty funny, and her thing of calling Shivani Siobhan is funny. I don't know.
She was doing a really good job on commentary. I was cracking up through a lot of it. She was very funny.
I think she also has really been pleasing me by, like, taking that, like, she's not changing the gimmick up a lot, but showing it off in, like, new ways where I'm like, oh, this is a funny new joke that I'm enjoying, and it's not too much. I really liked that. And I guess she is going to fight. Do you think that, is she going to fight Riho at World's End, do you think?
I think probably. Because it's, I think they said Riho's going to get a title shot, but they didn't announce it. So I bet it's going to be at World's End.
Yeah. It's interesting that we have no Dynamite matches announced.
I know. I don't know if, like, so it's Thursday, obviously. I don't know if they're going to announce some during Rampage, but
Maybe.
There's absolutely nothing announced right now, which I thought was kind of crazy.
Very strange. And then, do you guys have anything you want to say about Willow and Mercedes on Collision?
Horny. Yes. I was horny for it. It was just like, it felt to me like a BCC match, you know? Like, it was just very brutal.
Rough and tough.
It was a rough, tough match, and I was really into it. And I was really into the promos that they were giving beforehand, where, like, Mercedes was like, you used to be kind of soft and smiley, and now, like, I know what it's like when you're mad at me, and I love it. And I'm like,
Leah kind of, like, tucked a little lock of hair behind her ear. That was the vibe there. I thought it was great. I totally missed whatever happened at the end of the match, though, I will say that.
Oh, it was not super exciting. It was just like, you know, Diamante and Mercedes beat down Willow, and Stat ran out to save her. So it's like, classic. Something happening there. That's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like the entire women's division is built on somebody gets beat down and somebody does a save, and, like, that's all it ever.
Yep.
Get them a C2.
Exactly. Like,
get them in a C2.
I know.
Get them in a C2.
You know how long a round robin would take with the amount of time the women get?
But I actually just thought that I was like, you know what? It would still somehow be a better use of everybody's time. Except that then you would only be able to have whatever, you know. But I'm like, how many women are there? Just do a round robin with every single woman, and you do that for the full year. No, I know it's not a good idea. I know it's not.
Well, and then you just see who has the most points, honestly. I mean, I do think the women's division would benefit to a little external structure, though, to give people a little framework to tell little stories in. Mm-hmm.
Just give them a little monkey bars, jungle gym to clamber on, and, you know.
Yeah.
And then interview them backstage about their inner journeys about things.
Like, while they're sweaty and they're like lying on the floor trying to get their breath back, and someone is coming up saying, Miss Statlander, I know you might be trying to have a moment alone, but can I ask you a couple questions? Come on. Yeah. All right. Did I miss anything you really wanted to talk about?
No.
That's good, because we ran really long. I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah.
It's always Tunnel Talk. Our theme song is by Chris Quirkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tunnel Talk Pod, Tumblr, Tunnel Talk Pod, via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. And come back next week.